Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Twitter onion being unpeeled, and with it being unpeeled, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Will America survive? Now, perhaps you're saying America survived some worse things in the years gone by, but ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any time in history of our great nation, and I'm still under 100 years of age, don't know of a time we've had as many issues that are coming to the forefront simultaneously. It is though the entire warp and woof of society is being unthreaded, unraveled, and eviscerated as we're watching take place. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, in particular when it comes to the FBI and what the FBI was doing in relationship to sequestering the truth and preventing us from knowing the truth that allowed Joe Biden to be placed into office on a deceptive basis. And then along with that, ladies and gentlemen, I know that we've been lied to and a conspiracy with the federal government, a conspiracy between the federal government and Big Pharma and social media that's allowed millions of people to be injured for life and dependent upon pharmaceuticals as a result of it, are having hundreds of thousands, if not millions. In fact, around the world, I would conclude that it would be millions that have been killed, murdered by way of the COVID jab. I'm looking at the headline. I touched on it before the top of the news. Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, hosts experts on COVID vaccine injuries. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Robert Malone, and others. In fact, Dr. Ryan Cole was one of them there. And all of these are preeminently qualified people to answer questions. And the basic gist of the three-hour Senate committee conference that asked these renowned doctors questions about COVID, the COVID jab. One was a physician, I do not recall his name, he's got it in the article someplace here, that was formerly with the FDA. Because he asked questions, being with the FDA, he was summarily fired. But this article says, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, led a roundtable Wednesday in the nation's capital featuring acclaimed health scientists and other experts whose criticism on the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines has drawn wrath, scorn, censorship, punishment from the government and medical establishments. Among the scientists testifying on the COVID-19 vaccines, what they are, how they work, and possible causes of injuries, and it gives the list of the renowned physicians, etc. Others, such as former Wall Street analyst Edward Dowd, have analyzed insurance industry and government data and concluded the vaccines are the best explanation for the massive increase in excess deaths in America. Ladies and gentlemen, some participants testified of the suffering and severe life-changing injuries they linked to COVID vaccines. Johnson, this article reads, also asked officials such as Biden COVID advisor Anthony Fauci, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, and Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla to testify. To no one's surprise, none of these accepted the invitation. Here's the point. I'm turning to, it's about an 8-page article, just the summary of that 3-hour conference. It says there have been over 13 billion doses of this vaccine given worldwide, and there hasn't been a single labeling change to the vaccine because there isn't a vaccine label. Now, what do you mean? Ladies and gentlemen, with every pharmaceutical, there's a vaccine label or a medical label that tells you what's in it, what it does, the side effects, etc. And that is not the case with the COVID-19 vaccination. This article says in a follow-up, Dr. Gortler's remarks, a veteran pediatrician and medical professor in Spokane, Washington, pulled out the multi-folded paper insert in the mRNA COVID vaccine packaging that is supposed to list the components and possible side effects. Unfolding it like an old roadmap, she revealed, it is blank, except for in the very middle, where it says, intentionally left blank, end quote. That's the data on which pharmacists and physicians are basing giving the injections. The ask about the insert, how can I give information, informed consent to my patients when I do not have this? Meanwhile, she said the government is telling her she must call the vaccine safe and effective or risk losing her license. And it goes on, one of the physicians said, if you are at a doctor's office and he says this vaccine is safe and effective, he said, get out of your chair, run as fast as you can, because the COVID-19 vaccination is neither safe nor effective. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend this 3-hour documentary video. It was video streamed yesterday. If it's still available, if you can find it online, I highly recommend it. It's Dr. Ron Johnson having the COVID-19 injuries conference, and it was a roundtable that was streamed yesterday live. I watched an hour and a half, 2 hours of it, and I have hopefully had it captured on video for my archiving. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the printout of the basic summary of it, and it's frightening when you hear these renowned physicians, these renowned scientists talking about how we've been lied to and how the conspiracy is real and not just some conspiracy theorist with the tin hat. It is real. I believe I have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, comment is a message for President Trump. It's like this. Trump, stop giving speeches. It is time to act, not to talk. And if he thinks that he is going to get elected in 24, he's a fool. And I cannot respect or support fools. The recent elections more than prove 1,000 times that he would lose again and again. So why bother? He should take a look at Brazil. I think you talked about that.
Yes.
And follow Brazil's example.
Well, Derby, let me touch on a couple of things with you. I think what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that if he thinks he can be elected, he's a fool. And that was your statement. I'm repeating it.
Yes.
And the rationale behind it is because of the conspiracy that's been perpetrated in 2016 and 2020 and then replayed at a higher degree of proficiency in 2022 that would simply on the very face of it say, why are you going to run? You know that you can't win. Because we have the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats that have set up a machine and have so perfected the theft of an election that the question is there any way to win? And with that, Derby, my bottom line is, can we survive as a nation when we know that this is the truth, when this is the fact? Because I believe if Jesus tarries, the rapture doesn't take place before 2020, I believe that there will be very, very few conservative Christian patriots that want to bother to vote because they see that it's an impossibility to win an election by a conservative. Am I speaking correctly?
Exactly. And that's why I voted. But, in Florida, it's not as bad. But in Georgia, I knew Walker was going to lose. You know, it happened already, so it's going to happen again and again. So unless we fix the election system, we're doomed.
And now, let me ask you a question, because I have some major questions myself. What is the best fix, in your opinion? I've got some ideas. What is your thought? What are your thoughts? What's the best
like
fix?
Like Trump said, and I gave this info suggestions to the Election Integrity Committee, Corbett, you know, over a year ago, and did nothing. Well, like Trump says, paper ballots, one-day voting, know the results by the end of the evening, no absentee ballots, and that's good enough. And
that's good enough. I'm 100% I'm 100% in favor of that.
It's so simple, but the Republican Party in Florida keeps pushing, oh, we're good at, you know, mailing ballots. Yes, we are better than other states, but still not fraud-proof.
That's right.
And I asked face-to-face, Clay Yarbrough is our new state senator. I asked him at a Tea Party meeting, okay, you passed election integrity bill. Good for you, an improvement. But is it fraud-proof? He said, no. He said, why the hell not? You know, we put a man on the moon 50 years ago, and you cannot pass a simple bill that is fraud-proof. That's all that I want. I don't care how you do it, as long as it is transparent, fair, honest, and fraud-proof.
Derby, one of the things that I'm finding more and more, and I'm not tossing the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm finding fewer and fewer and fewer Republicans with a backbone. They're afraid that somehow, some way, they might make someone mad. They're afraid somehow, some way, that they might not be able to have the compromise and reach across the aisle. They're afraid that somehow, some way, they might lose one voter that would vote for them if they take a stand on truth and then follow through on it once they're elected. I'm finding very few that's willing to do that today, and therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Now, do you know what happened at the REC meeting Monday?
I didn't hear the results. I knew what it was building to.
Well, I was there. So, of course, Dean Black won by two-thirds of the voters. It doesn't matter what the opposition says. Factual, the membership paid no attention to all of Dean's flaws. So they want to win regardless of integrity or the truth or ethics.
That's right.
And I have to say to Dean Black, just because you won doesn't make you a conservative. You're still a rhino.
That's exactly right. I'm in full agreement with that. And we need to pray. We need to keep praying and asking God to intervene. I believe God can. The question is, will God do so? Because I believe we've gone so far away from God, away from the Word of God, away from the morals, the ethics, and the values that built a nation as great America as we have today. I believe as a result of that, we're seeing the progressive judgment of God coming against America because of what we have done. Can it be turned around? I believe it can be if we'll turn back to God. But I believe that's the answer, Derby.
Yes, well, we have to keep praying for sure.
Yes, but also, absolutely.
Unless you act, the prayer, praying will not do any good.
Here's the thing, and that's, I'm going to wrap the broadcast up with this, but I'll touch on it now. The fact that with the conspiracy against Nehemiah chapter 4, the conspiracy against Nehemiah and his people, the 49,942 people rebuilding the wall, what did they do? How did they respond? They prayed, yes, but they also acted, because the scripture says they set the people at their families and with their swords, with their spears, and with their bows, and looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember, the Lord, which is great and awesome, will fight for your sons, your brethren, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So what did they do? The conspiracy was in place. They were threatening to destroy them. They kept on working, but they armed themselves and kept watching and kept working while they were praying. So it's not just a matter of saying, Lord, do this, do this. We need to, as the old cliche goes, put feet on our prayers, and we continue to work, we continue to watch, continue to pray, but we continue to arm ourselves with truth and understand what is taking place.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, if you see Trump, tell him that I said so, okay?
I'll do it. Thanks so much. Thank you for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your comments, your dialogue and discussion. Did you get to watch any of the Senator Johnson conference yesterday? Love to hear from you. What's your take on it? What's your thoughts in relationship to it? I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, showing you how we have been deceived and lied to and the conspiracy that's taken place. You recall in the past 3 years, the CDC and the FDA and the federal government and all of the branches therein said that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine could not be used because it was just horse paste and it was would be detrimental to human beings. Here's an article that says the government's big lie about ivermectin is finally revealed. By now, millions of Americans well-informed about the pandemic know that the cheap, safe, and effective generic medicine, ivermectin, known as IVM in this article, was blocked for wide-scale use from the very beginning by the federal government. It was a critical but medically wrong tactic within the wait for the vaccine strategy. Preventing early use of ivermectin has surely killed and or harmed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. A few courageous doctors have successfully been using ivermectin during the pandemic, but most feared punishment as they lost their medical freedom. Let me stop there for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. The physicians, the doctors across America that prescribed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, the federal government threatened them and in some cases literally took their medical license because of their treating the patient with a medicine that would cure them and not kill them. That shows the conspiracy by the big pharma, by big tech, by the federal government, the FDA, and the CDC in particular, to kill. In fact, as one scientist physician said, Dr. Katz out of the Yale University School of Medicine, which was the Mitchell Hospital, said that what we're watching is mass genocide. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what has been taking place. That's the reason Joe Biden is still pushing and demanding that everybody get vaccinated. Ladies and gentlemen, it is reducing the population. But listen very carefully. Joe Biden and others in the political circles, they've openly, visibly had their sleeves rolled up and they've taken a jab. They say they're taking the COVID-19 vaccination. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Every batch of the COVID serum that's called a vaccination, every batch is a different batch. You might have someone down the street that took the vaccination 6 months ago and they're still healthy. You might have someone that took the vaccination yesterday and 24 hours later they dropped dead. It's because it's a different batch and it's made in all parts of the globe, several places in India, also out of China. We do not know what is in it, and the CDC and the FDA and all of the big pharmaceutical manufacturing agencies, they do not know what's in it, and that's what's being unpeeled in the Twitter feeds. It's now the Twitter onion that's being unpeeled. That's what's being discovered now in the meetings like with Senator Ron Johnson, where he's questioning what happened, who did it, why was it done, why were we lied to, et cetera, et cetera. This article further states, a few courageous doctors have successfully been using ivermectin during the pandemic, but feared the punishment as they lost their medical license. Now comes a mind-boggling statement from an attorney. Listen carefully. Now comes a mind-boggling statement from an attorney defending the FDA in a lawsuit brought by three doctors. The following statement should be copied and used by both doctors and individuals to freely prescribe and use ivermectin in its early stages of COVID infection as a useful antiviral. It always should have been seen as an alternative to any experimental, unsafe, ineffective COVID vaccine. The article further states, this is what the attorney said. A federal attorney in a courthouse in Houston, Texas, where the federal government, the CDC, has been sued. This is what the attorney says, ladies and gentlemen. The cited statements were not derived directives. He's talking about the statements from the CDC. Were not directives. They were not mandatory. They were simply recommendations. They said what parties should do. They said, for example, why you should not take ivermectin to treat COVID-19. A lawyer said, defending the FDA in court, quote, they did not say that you do not have the right to. They did not say that you must not do it. They did not say it is prohibited or it's unlawful. They also did not say that the doctors may not prescribe ivermectin. Ladies and gentlemen, as this writer says, let's imagine that. So the truth prevails. Let national access to IVM begin. Here's the whole story. Because of a credible lawsuit, the federal government now is lying in a most amazing way. It says it really did not say what has been said, what they've been saying now for almost 3 years. The federal lawyers recently argued in a Texas courtroom, and apparently with straight faces, that the government's war on ivermectin and HCQ, COVID-19 pandemic, was a figment of our collective imaginations. From the very beginning of the pandemic, Anthony Fauci made sure that the HCQ and ivermectin were blocked. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the backstory on that is, if you had a doctor that would write a prescription for the ivermectin and the HCQ, the hydroxychloroquine, that could cure you and not kill you, the drug stores, CVS and Walgreens and others, were then by federal government mandate said that they could not fill those prescriptions because it was not approved by the CDC and the FDA. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have had this entire conspiracy to force the vaccination in the arms of human beings. When Joe Biden and others had their sleeves rolled up, they did not get the same batch as has been given across the nation and around the world for the most part. So, ladies and gentlemen, this article continues. Federal lawyers are arguing that we, the people, simply are ignorant. We do not really understand what the CDC and the FDA said. We thought that they meant we could not take it. That's exactly what they said, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what they've done. This article further says the doctors who have sued the FDA maintain that the agency wrongfully interfered with the ability to treat their patients, which claims that IVM, that is ivermectin, was useless to stop the cure of COVID, and they were correct. Medical freedom was intentionally killed in America. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. We are watching the unpeeling of the onion. The Twitter onion now is showing the conspiracy between the federal government and the FDA, the CDC, and every agency in the branch of the medical world, and what was taking place with Big Pharma, Big Tech, joining hands to deceive Americans and to force Americans to take the COVID jab. I pray that you didn't. But ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with the fact that there is the onslaught now that's still being pushed to force everybody to get the jab. Now they have approved, not with tests, not with the longevity of studies, but the FDA and the CDC just approved the use of the COVID jab for 6 months old infants and up. We will find, ladies and gentlemen, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 10 years from now, that everyone that took the jab either died or they're permanently injured or they're permanently sterile, which will be part of the mass genocide to prevent the population growth around the world. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you. Yes, lies, deception, and intrigue was the strategy from the very beginning that brought the collapse of humanity, the fall. And today, we are in it. Thank God for the peeling of the onion. But we better realize how serious, how very serious our condition is. This has been going on. These people have mastered the art of whatever they are involved in doing. They put it on their opposition. And it's going on quite some time now. I remember very well that President Obama would not have been in the White House if the media didn't play its role in covering up all that should be known about him, his background, his involvement, and so on. It was carefully covered up that Americans didn't know who they were dealing with. The state of our FBI now and intelligence, CIA, whatever, is in a total mess, and we see what's going on. And as Dr. Youngblood just mentioned, that spinelessness, I think that is our main problem. We need to depend on God, only God, just like in the Nehemiah days and Ezra. God intervene and God is able in all things. If we humble ourselves and really cry out to him and depend on him, because he will have to do it. We will have to play our part. We can't be spineless. And this is what we see going on. We see this spinelessness showing up where people are becoming fearful, not being able to stand up to what's good. The main problem is splintering. Instead of standing up together, we find those who are involved in trying to divide and splinter up, divide up the conservatives when conservatives need to come together as never before and stand together.
Absolutely. In fact, Lily, if I could jump in, our previous caller, Derby, was exactly right. We're electing people that will promise you anything to get the vote and get in office. They're claiming to be conservatives. They're saying all the right things, but they're deceiving us. And that is the thing that I find so fascinating with the unpeeling of the Twitter onion. Lily, we've got just a short length of time, got another caller waiting, but thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do in the future days as we find more and more politicians that we can hopefully depend on, and that they'll depend on God and be honest and draw, as you said, grow a spiritual and political spine. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Chris on the line. Chris, go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, I love the show. I just thank you for speaking the truth. I love the show. It's awesome. Just remember, God is in control. We are going to go to a one-world government, one-world religion, and a one-world currency. I remember when COVID started, I tried to get hydroxychloroquine myself, and for some reason, you can get it over the counter. You couldn't get it over the counter, and I even went to my doctor, and I couldn't even get it from my doctor. So it's the truth, you know? It's the truth, so it's really sad. Remember, God's in control.
Amen. Yes. Thank you so much for that insight, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact, as Chris just articulated so well, God's in control, God is sovereign, and we are headed for a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. And we're on the fast track for that, but we're being deceived and denied the truth. In fact, as a result of that, it is Elon Musk that made a statement. I'm looking at the headline. Elon Musk says, Twitter is in the battle for the future civilization. It is for the future of our nation. Elon Musk measures to protect free speech on Twitter, including the elimination of its COVID misinformation policy. The White House is promising to keep a close eye on the social media platform. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, Elon Musk claims that he stands a great risk of being assassinated simply because of telling the truth. And that's what we need more and more people today in the political arena and even as conservative Christians that's willing to risk anything to stand for truth, even to stand if we're faced with death. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you could join us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.